All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm speaking with Darlene Lancer about narcissism. And one of those symptoms that you mentioned, Darlene, is entitlement.
Yes.
And I can imagine that could really wear out the person that they're really connected with, whether, again, a spouse, children, you name it. If they're feeling entitled, and that along with some of the other traits that you mentioned, I can see how that could really just wear on the nerves, the patience of that spouse.
Yeah, it translates into my way or the highway.
Interesting.
You know, you do it, how dare you, like, not come, I'm thinking of a parent and child, for instance, how dare you not come to dinner when I invite you? How dare you, you know, date that person I told you not to? How dare you? It's just like, it all has to revolve around the narcissist's needs and choices.
Wow, and it really doesn't matter even if something else is in the better interest of that other person.
Exactly. There's no other interest. So only the interest of the narcissist. So
even when that approach is obviously causing problems for family members, whoever it is that they're targeting, they're still fine being the way they are.
Yes. See, that's the thing with the personality disorder. It feels congruent. It feels normal to them. And it's the other people that are bothered. With a mood disorder, it's like, I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to feel anxious. So I'm feeling pain about this. I want to get help. But with a personality disorder, it feels congruent. It feels normal to them. We say in our field, ego syntonic, meaning it's not, there's no discord there. It's synchronized, the word, you know, mm-hmm. with who they are.
Wow, at the core of their being.
So often there are just a few more symptoms, and I think that's come across in what I've said already, is they often act haughty or arrogant in their attitude and their behavior, superior. And all of this is to protect their fragile self, to not have to look at themselves. And they use a lot of defenses to not have to look at themselves and prop up their facade, because it would be too devastating for them. That's another, like I said, like the man that didn't want to go to therapy, to face themselves. And often they're very envious of others, or they think that other people envy them. So rather than saying, well, this person, I hurt them and I need to make amends, they'll say, oh, they're just envious of me. That's why they're acting that way. All the people envy, you know, how successful I am, and that's why they don't like me, or they rationalize it that way, or they envy someone else who is more successful, or whose wife is more beautiful, or who's more talented, because they want to be the best. They don't feel like, envy is based in not feeling enough.
And so, this is so intriguing, Darlene. They have all this going on, and it's so much a part of, like you said, it's who they are, but they fight to not see. Does that mean that I'm intrigued by the fact that they don't see it, but they fight to make sure they don't see it?
Exactly. That's their defenses. We all have defenses. You know, people use denial, and the partners use denial too. So a long time they might, let's say their partner is giving them a lot of gifts or money, gets them happy with, or maybe occasionally is says something romantic to them, and then they deny all of their pain, their emotional pain in the relationship. So people use denial whenever they have a conflict or there's something that would be too painful to look at. And so narcissists use denial. They use contempt. They blame other people. They criticize other people. They have to feel entitled and the best. They use aggression. All this keeps any feelings of vulnerability, weakness, shame, insecurity out of their mind. They have to, we say, ward it off, and they use self-promotion to feel better so they don't feel less than. So shame is feeling less than others. So they do the opposite. They make other people less than, and they could be superior, arrogant. I've mentioned a lot of symptoms. A person really only needs 5 to be considered a narcissist. A core would be lack of empathy. So somebody could be aggressive and critical, arrogant, but they could still have empathy. You could think of that feeling of entitlement, grandiosity, and lack of empathy, and as core symptoms.
And you said the core being the lack of empathy.
The lack of empathy, and yes. And thinking they're great, or they should be recognized. Either they exaggerate who they are, or they have fantasies.
So if you have a narcissistic parent, and I'm thinking specifically of a narcissistic mother, and I'll tell you why. Usually when I think of the bonding process of parent with child, particularly with the baby, with the infant, while the baby is just completely dependent on the parents, and I picture in my mind a mother breastfeeding her baby and how beautiful that can be when that mother's breastfeeding the baby is literally drinking from the mother physically, but also when those two are connecting, they're looking into each other's eyes and on a spiritual level, they're drinking from each other, they're bonding with each other. And so, of course, the father can do that when he's bottle feeding the baby. But I'm just thinking, with the narcissistic parent, can they possibly be feeding the baby and not bonding at all?
Yes, possibly. They might be thinking this is a burden. I have to sit here and do this. Or they misread. It's hard for them to attune to someone other than themselves. And good parenting and mothering is based on attunement, is a psychological term, meaning you tune into and you're able to read that baby's feelings and needs, but I said they lack emotional empathy. So, and actually brain studies have shown abnormalities in the regions of narcissist brain associated with emotional empathy. So they score low on those tests. So they may misread the baby. So they may be throwing the baby up in the air, and the baby's terrified, and they're thinking, oh, this is so much fun.
Wow, just completely misreading.
The baby, they're not able to tune in, and then they may not be, then of course they can't mirror the child. So that's another important part of parenting, is to say, oh, you're sad, and then meet the baby's need, let me hold you. So a lot of narcissistic parents don't want to deal with those feelings of sadness. So they don't want to, or they don't want to comfort the child, especially if it's a little older. Or a father would say, don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
Or punish a child. Why are you feeling sad? My mother was a narcissist. So it's like, why? If I was sad, you shouldn't be sad. You should be angry. That was more familiar to her. And why? So they shame your feelings. So children of narcissists often are not able to be in touch with their feelings or name them or don't feel free to express them. It doesn't feel safe because they're going to get shamed, because the narcissist is not going to be empathic with many feelings.
And so that child grows up learning how to suppress their true feelings.
Exactly.
Which isn't healthy at all.
Right.
Our guest, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Darlene Lancer is going to be talking with us more about narcissism. And one of the things that she will address are ways that the person who is connected with a narcissist can learn to more correctly deal with. Not saying that life will become a bed of roses, but how to deal with it. We'll be right back.